Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm covering from OH, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, July 22nd. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 33, paragraph 3, and we are on, well, as I said, paragraph 3. That begins with, to be gravely affected, and ends with, but try to get them to see it. Today's readers are Jody E. for the 12 steps, Joanne L. for the 12 traditions, Janice P.M. will read and comment on our text for us, Lisa M. will close us out, and Alex K. is here for backup. We also have a newcomer greeter, Yvonne A., and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements today. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Jody E. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you so much, Elaine B., for your service and for your consistency. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Elaine. And once again, happy anniversary, 12th anniversary to A Vision for You. And welcome to the newcomers especially. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, working on my recovery one day at a time. I'm still writing. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 33, paragraph 3. And I am going to ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I'm Janice P.M. from Massachusetts, a grateful, yes, grateful compulsive overeater. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities that some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. We, who are familiar with the symptoms, see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere. But try and get them to see it. And there's an asterisk at the bottom that says, true, when this book was first published, I have a small book, 2014. In 2014, the membership survey showed about 12% of AAs were 30 and under. And of course, years ago when the book was written, there weren't too many like myself. All right. Well, of course, we know to be gravely. Well, you know, when I was 8 years old and I was eating for comfort with my brother, taking out a blanket next to two beds on the floor, playing picnic with peanut butter and crackers, I know I can remember it distinctly that was what comforted us. And then once I took that bite, you know, I wanted more. It was never enough. And I was searching because my mother was working and we had a nanny and et cetera. But, you know, I didn't really think I ate a lot. See, I have been gravely affected, let me tell you. It didn't happen right away, you know. However, I had to go through a long, long time before the truth, before I stopped testing my ability. And the only thing, it says symptoms and signs. Well, with me, I really didn't know at eight years old, that the first thing, if I just have it one time, the phenomenon of craving. You may say, well, oh no, I've had the cravings a lot. Well, in the book, it teaches us that it has to be inside our body, which is the allergy of the body. Those trigger foods have to be inside before I crave. Like when I was pregnant, I craved certain substances, but, you know, I probably did have it in my body. That's why I craved it, not because I was pregnant. It was because I ingested that particular food. So all my life, I was trying to test the truth that, you know, you can't tell me that I'm a compulsive overeater. But as I grew and my illness grew with me, because it's progressive and it is permanent, but it's also very, very, very patient. And that's what I found. I was holier than thou. Oh, I lived above the bakery, my father's bakery. So that's why I eat. So I tried all methods, go down the back way, steps to the bakery, come home, but I'd still pick up whatever I had to pick up. So again, I was always testing my control. And you know, when you're young, when I was in high school, I was a cheerleader and I got headaches. I thought, oh, I hate cheerleading, but it was the food, you know. Thank you. Of course, that's only one illusion. And, you know, well, another symptom, have a physical problem. I'm going to get through right now. When you have the staple, your stomach and all that. But that didn't cure it, because I also have a spiritual problem. And with that, I am going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your share, Janice PM. Okay. We really value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to comment on page 33, paragraph 33, which begins with "to be gravely affected," please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name, and we'll get a lineup.
Sylvia Aaron F. J.
I heard Sylvia F. and then someone J.
Aaron J.
Aaron J. Anybody else?
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Deborah G.
Roz G.
I heard Julie P. and Roz G. Did I miss somebody else in there?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Let me tell you who I've got. Sylvia F., Erin J., Lisa N., Julie P., Roz G., was it Deborah G., the last one? Okay.
Deborah
well, we'll catch
G. Yeah, Deborah G.
Yeah, Deborah G., all right.
You had to get unmuted, sorry.
Yay, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, this is a great lineup to get us started. Sylvia F., great to hear you. Please share with us.
Hi, it's so great to be on this meeting and hear all these familiar voices still. This is Sylvia F., and I'm in Portland, Oregon, formerly Northern California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I guess first to just remember 12 years ago where I was. You know, I was living in upstate New York. I had this amazing sponsor who had said, you know, maybe you should join this meeting that we're starting. And I took that as be there and started to hear this voice, these voices of recovery who are still here. And that is a miracle. And I thank you all for your service. So on this paragraph, it reminds me that it doesn't matter. In order to be an alcoholic, and I'm a food alcoholic, whatever you want to, however you want to define yourself, it doesn't matter how long I've been doing it or the quantities I have, that we're all coming in with different stories. And so one of the things that I am sure of, and I get to test it every once in a while, is that I am definitely a compulsive overeater, that I define myself exactly as the doctor's opinion defines me, that I have a physical allergy and a spiritual problem as well, twofold illness. One of the things that I am clear of, and it's interesting that it talks about women here, that when I ingest something with sugar, and everybody's experience is different, but when I particularly ingest something with sugar, I can feel it so immediately. And so it's, the book says that we do this because we want that effect. But one of the things that's happened is I can feel it so quickly. It's like mainlining a drug that it is actually scary now. So it has changed. So now I feel that feeling and it's like, it doesn't feel good. So I can tell usually if something is in a food that maybe I didn't realize it. And if I can't do that, then I'm going to look for something else. So if I'm not eating sugar, then I'm going to try and find some kind of, you know, salty carb in a bag or something. But I am going to look. If I am not spiritually fit, I'm going to look. And so the way I have to... So this defines me, that I am an addict, and that the way I have to treat it is I have to put the plug in the jug. I've got to stop eating those foods, which is really hard. And then I have to treat the malady, which is in my mind. And so the paragraph before this is establishing once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I loved hearing once a pickle, never a cucumber. So I am an addict, and this is what's describing me. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sylvia F. Okay, Erin J., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Lisa N.
Thank you. I'm Erin J., a compulsive overeater here in Cody, Wyoming, outside of Yellowstone, and it's, like, gorgeous. I'm getting my steps as I'm listening to you in my second meeting of the day because this is my medicine. Because I've been my past incipient compulsive overeater to actual compulsive overeater probably before I was even really aware of my surroundings. I mean, it's just so deeply, every one of my memories is around food. And I get it very honestly. My father died a compulsive overeater on his kitchen floor at 62. So it's not any surprise how I learned how to do this and how it works. And my understanding of the disease coming from the doctor's opinion is that I have an allergy of the body, which is meaning I have an abnormal reaction to certain foods and certain compulsive eating behaviors. So what is the answer he suggests? Entire abstinence, which is only possible if I take the actions which bring about a psychic change, which is that rearrangement of the driving forces of myself that I'm no longer driven by just ego, wanting more and more for Erin. So it's the allergy of the body, which is not enough to cause an addict. What it is the obsession of the mind. It's the answer to restless, irritable discontent that I already know works, which is mostly M&Ms or anything sweet. And I'm a quantity eater, never quality. So I don't care about, you know, the brand. I just care about the amount. That's why when I learned that a serving, not learned, by the way, I could have learned this many times, but actually when I was faced with this, with a dietitian telling me a serving of almond is 6, I have no interest in almonds with my right mind, because I mean, 6 almonds would never do anything for me, but start me wanting more. So, and I'm not saying almonds are evil. Don't get me wrong. It's just that when I'm able to abstain, when I'm in abstinence and I can make food plan choices with a sane mind, that's not a choice Erin would generally make. So it's the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, for which the only solution was entire abstinence, which I can't do anything to achieve on my own. It's the spiritual solution of being able to have God instead of, you know, Aaron as the driving force in my life. It's like, what can I bring to the table today? What can I inject into the stream of life today instead of what I can take? Which is my, honestly, I wake up every morning, I'm like, what about me? So that's why you guys and these meetings help me so much, because they help me reorient that mind from, oh, it's not happening my way, so it's still okay because God is in charge, not Aaron. So thank you very much for being here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Lisa N., you're up next, followed by Julie P.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, gratefully recovering one day at a time with God's help only and his mercy. So thank you that I'm here. As a child, nobody knew I was gravely affected with a compulsion to eat. My mother said that I had an affliction, which was my outer appearance. She said the size of a part of my body was like an affliction. But she didn't know that I was affected by a grave disorder, nor did my father. And they warned me as a teenager not to get involved with anybody, any male that might be an alcoholic, because they would drag me down. I remember hearing them say that. Those words really stuck with me. And, of course, I did get involved with an alcoholic later. I tried not to, but it was a compulsion as well. And so they knew that some things were really serious, like alcoholism, but they didn't know how serious my eating disorder was or that I even had one. But the thing that I wanted to say was the word gravely, it's in the dictionary. It's an adverb or an adjective, rather. And it says, to a degree that gives a cause for alarm, the economy has suffered gravely in a serious or solemn manner. So, that's a pretty serious thing to have an eating disorder. It's a pretty serious thing to be alcoholic. These things out. And how we do it is we cooperate. We don't even know we're doing that. We cooperate because we're like on a path of self-destruction without, and that's why it's so serious, is because we don't really realize, well, I didn't realize I needed help until a very long time when I just couldn't take it anymore. So I'm grateful to share, and thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else this morning too.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. Julie P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing my name this morning, and thank everybody for their service. I am so grateful to be in a meeting, because I really need to admit that once again, I am a compulsive overeater. Working on living in recovery today, and I am just really identifying with the sentence of certain drinkers who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. Oh, man, I would have certainly been insulted if somebody would have called me a compulsive overeater. No one in my entire life called me that. But the truth of the matter is, I know now that I am a compulsive overeater and do not have the ability to stop. And I am so grateful for those of you who have shared your stories and your truth about bulimia, because I know that my best thinking told me that's the solution. And since that thought came, I have become a member of OA, and I have not had that thought since. Because of those of you that have shared your story, I don't want to go there, but I know that my disease is in the background telling me and progressing that that's where I'm going to go. I don't have the inability to stop, and this disease for me is like whack-a-mole. My husband said to me yesterday, well, what did you have to throw in the woods today? And he's right. I did have to throw new foods that I have learned that I am allergic to. But there is so much hope. And for those of you that are new, I welcome you. This is an amazing journey. And it's okay if my disease is rearing its ugly head again, because there is one solution, and it is not an injection or a pill or a bag or whatever. There is only one solution, and that is spiritual. And thank you all for being here, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Julie P. Okay, Roz G. is up next, then. She'll be followed by Deborah G.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Elaine, and hi, everybody. I'm Roz G. And yes, I am a compulsive overeater. I'm in 3 or 4 12-step programs, and I'm compulsive, impulsive, a lot of things. And at first, when I am told, or when a sponsor tells me the truth about something, I really don't like it. It's really painful. It's really insulting. I want to get self-righteously indignant. But in the long run, it is the best thing for me to hear. A sponsor once told me that I come off as arrogant, and I was really insulted by that. But it helped me later on, because it taught me about humility, the tone of my voice, my attitude. And I had one sponsor tell me, you need to learn how to make good friends with green vegetables. And I really didn't like to hear that either. But in the long run, it has helped me a lot. It has made me a lot healthier person with a clear mind and given me the ability to feel. So I know a lot about getting insulted. I still do to this day. I get insulted at a lot of things. But what I'm so grateful for is that at, 5:30 this morning, I was on the phone with a fellow doing a 10th step, because I don't think I was insulted, but I was disturbed. And so I know I'm a compulsive overeater. I know that I get disturbed. I know that if I do not do something about it, I will turn to the addiction. I will not turn to recovery. I will not turn to God. I will turn to finite self. I will not turn to infinite God. So I need to remain spiritually fit by attending meetings, by doing my step work in the morning and the evening, and pausing throughout the day. I need to work with sponsees every day or close to it. And I need to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And I need the wisdom to do it and the power to carry it out from God. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Okay, Deborah G is up next. And after Deborah, we're going to take another lineup on page 33 of There is a Solution. We're on paragraph 3, and that begins with to be gravely affected and ends with, but try to get them to see it. So I look forward to hearing more shares on this after we hear from Deborah G. Please share with us, Deborah.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your leading us this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line here with us. You're my tribe. And I was thinking about my early years and how I was very hyper, very energetic, very exercise, very bicycle, very swimming. And I was eating a lot. And people would say, oh my God, how can you eat so much and not gain weight? And you know, at first, there was so much pride in that. I thought that was super cool. I thought that they were complimenting me. And you know, then through the years to come up, when that was being said to me, it started to bother me. because it was, I started to hear their tone of voice with what they were saying about it. And, but that didn't stop me from doing it, you know, because I loved eating those alcoholic foods and would continue to eat those alcoholic foods and seek ease and comfort with those alcoholic foods and just keep going with that. And, not, you know, maybe being a sense of disturbance about what they said, but it was fleeting, you know, and continuing on. And that's what it was. And it wasn't till, you know, that gravely affected, I didn't see that. I didn't feel that. I didn't experience that in my mind. You know, in my mind, I was still in that thinking I can do this. And it's okay, and rationalizing and justifying and just say, oh, I love it. I know. And saying I love it. And the behavior was pretty evident that I was loving it. And I was so driven to continue to do it. Nothing else mattered. And I'm just so grateful that I have a solution here to deal with all this, because then I didn't. And I'm also very grateful for awareness, because I didn't have that then, and I have it now. And just to be here on this call with everyone, you know that I'm not alone, and I can get help in doing this. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Deborah G., and everybody who shared so far. Great shares. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 33, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Kathleen W.
in California.
I heard Kathleen, someone W, and Rob H. And Maria C.
Jody E.
Jody E. Okay,
Pearl
who
R.
ended with W? I got you, Pearl R. Who ended with W?
I'm Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Okay, Kathleen. Oh, great. Okay, so this is who I've got, and if I missed you, there's still time, I believe. Kathleen W., Rob K., Maria C., Jody E., and Pearl. Didn't get your first initial of your last name. Did I miss anybody?
Clarice H.
And perhaps room for one more if anybody wants to jump in. Actually, we'll catch you later. Okay, so we've got Kathleen W., Rob K., Maria C., Jody E., Pearl R., and Clarice H. Please share with us, Kathleen.
Good morning, OA family. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois, a very grateful compulsive overeater. So grateful that I have this disease, because it brought me to God and to a fellowship of healing and love. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time or take the quantities some of us have. That really speaks to me. And I want to talk today. I want to claim my seat amongst all the other compulsive overeaters that are here. It strengthens me to remember that I am a compulsive overeater, because sometimes, you know, my disease likes me to forget that, or kind of blurs it out. And this, you know, the fellowship really keeps me in a place where I'm supported to know I am a compulsive overeater and I need help. I did not have, you know, this really speaks to me, because I didn't take the quantities of food some people have. I did not become morbidly obese. I did gain some weight. I looked heavy, you know, but I didn't. Even really not even heavy set in some ways. However, I still had the crazy way of thinking. I got sober in the beverage program in like 1995. And when my mind cleared up from that, I just thought, my eating is weird. I didn't have any understanding that it was a spiritual problem, that it was, I had an allergy to these foods. I just knew it was weird. I talked to a woman who also was in OA, and she said, oh, go to OA. And I started then in 1996, but I didn't stay there for long. But I did get some understanding about the disease, though I still didn't get it. I still didn't get that it was a spiritual problem. And now in 2010, I came back to the program and progressively been recovering. And I just thank God. I didn't know how gravely affected I was. And I have to remember this. I am gravely affected by my trigger foods, by the toxic foods that I cannot eat, that I recoil from as from a hot flame, because I am gravely affected by them. And I'm glad to be reminded of that today. Thanks a lot. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. Rob K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Maria C. Star one to unmute. Rob K., please.
There we go. Yes, thank you. This is Rob H. from New York. So what I get out of this paragraph, it really sparked me to do some writing. The gratitude, I got some gratitude from this, but also that first to be gravely affected, what does that mean for me? I've always been scared of death, and, it's always been something that was scary to me. And I remember not wanting to visit my grandfather in the hospital when he was dying, and I didn't end up visiting him. And I don't know if I even went to the funeral, but it was a while ago. But I've always been scared of death, and but I guess the food never really thought about that with the food, kind of just would just eat because it was there whatever. But I know that I'm scared to death. I'm brought to death's door. If I start eating those foods that are going to take me out, that means I'm probably wanting to die for some reason. And, for me, what happens if I, if I choose not to cook my food today, right? For me, it means that I'll either spend all my money on food and then can't pay my bills, or I will end up stealing food wherever I can find it, which could lead to, retaliation or incarceration or whatever, which could possibly lead to death too. So I feel like, this morning, last night we had a cat we found that was, a stray, and we found it. And my fiance ended up catching it, but by the time we got home last night, it ended up dying, and we had to toss it into the, into the woods, basically. And death is kind of on my mind this morning. So I'm just grateful I didn't go back to sleep, and I did some meditation instead, because sometimes I go back to sleep because I want to avoid all my problems or isolate from people. So just grateful to be here. And that's all I got. Thanks, Cass.
Thank you for your share, Rob H. Maria C., you're up next, followed by Jody E.
Sorry, did you call Maria already?
I just called you, Maria, and let you know your voice is kind of quiet. So if you could speak up, that would be so great.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, the star one thing. Hi, my name is Maria. I'm in California, Maria C. She is in Charlie. I hope you guys can hear me. I'm at the bus stop. I just want to say I was one of those young people trying to figure out what was wrong with me, but not being ready. When I first came into the room 7 years ago, I was in my early 20s, and I was resistant to using the big book to work the steps. And I see now it was that word alcoholic and admitting that that's what I was, and the substance was just different. But the addiction was exactly the same. And I remember finally being desperate enough a year and a half ago with the health issues, but mostly with the money issues. the get going into debt buying food, that I really accepted, really took step one, and took step one using this big book. And, you know, when I finally started coming to this meeting, because my lead sponsor encouraged me to, I pulled a card out of my wallet. Years ago, a man in Los Angeles was passing out business cards that just had the Vision for You information. It had been sitting in my wallet for 6 years, and I just wasn't ready to pick it up. But I'm still a young person in here, and I'm so grateful that there's so much young person outreach that we can try to get that message before I died from this. So thank you. Sorry about the background noise, and I pass. Have a great day.
We heard you just fine, and keep coming, Maria. Thank you so much. Jody E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Pearl R.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California. This also speaks to me. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. I didn't take quantities that were especially horrendous, but it was enough. I also used another substance that's not really a food to control my weight, and that helped me to keep my weight normal-ish, if not underweight. But I was gravely affected, very gravely affected. And why do I say that? Because I was obsessed with not only eating and managing my weight, but I was also obsessed with myself. I was stuck in this vicious cycle of self consciousness, self-centeredness, selfishness, that made me very insecure, extremely insecure. So insecure that I really didn't even, wasn't able to start a career other than marriage and mothering, which was a career for me. But I had a very terrible time trying to find a way to make a living on or to support myself. So that was another way that I was gravely affected. The food was just a very easy source of ease and comfort that I would go to instead of solving my problems, instead of addressing my problems. And that went on for years. Even after I found OA, it wasn't really until I found this big book study meeting and started to work the steps according to the big book that I really got a good look into myself and my self-centeredness and found recovery. So grateful for that and to be able to carry this message today and get out of myself and experience this psychic change. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy E. Okay, Pearl R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Clarice H.
Hi, this is Pearl R. from Arizona. I can definitely relate to this. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time nor take the quantities some of us have. For me, I was unaware that I am diabetic. I was pre-diabetic for a long time, and so I never checked my blood sugar levels. And when I started checking my blood sugar levels, I was in shock that they were almost 300, and when I looked online, it said to contact medical, your doctor immediately. And so for me, it didn't take long though to become full-blown diabetic from eating And it wouldn't even have to be quantities of food. Just a little bit of those things that I know are definitely poison to my body. So yeah, it doesn't have to take a lot. And this stuff is so dangerous. It's like rat poison. I might as well be just taking rat poison and thinking that, oh, that's not going to affect me. I'll be just fine. So yeah, I've had to learn the hard way, and I can definitely relate to every single word in this big book. Definitely has rang true in my life. And yeah, and some people are greatly insulted if called alcoholic. And in the past, I would have thought that people were out of their minds telling me I couldn't eat sugar. I thought that was that they were insane, when in reality, I was the one who needed to be institutionalized because I was the insane one. But I grew up with bikers thinking that you can do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, just whatever, and it doesn't matter. Well, that's a big fat lie. It does matter. And this stuff is nothing to play around with. I might as well be playing Russian roulette every day with my life, because that's what I'm doing when I decide to eat sugar and flour and stuff that I know that is not made by God. I just, today, if it's made by God, my body knows what to do with it. My body will manage it and put it in its proper nutrients, do what it needs to do with it, because that's how my body was designed, for the food that God made it. Wasn't designed for some man-made or the enemy's schemes. It wasn't designed for that. It was designed by the Creator who created the food for it, and that's what I need to do today, is eat the food that it was designed for and not think that I know better than God and I can play Thank God in my life and that I'm not going to have to suffer consequences. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much. Clarice H., if you could do like a two-minute share, that would be great. Thank you very much, Clarice.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for your service this morning, Elaine. this paragraph really says to me that this program is for everyone and anyone, and I really love and appreciated that OA has its arms spread wide open and accepts anyone, you know, no matter what you believe in, who you love, your political views, color of your skin, it really doesn't matter. And I feel like that inclusivity really helped to open the OA doors for me. And I know that I was and am gravely affected by this disease. And even before I even knew it, which is pretty much my entire life, you know, I didn't know I was a compulsive eater. I didn't know this was a disease. And I mean, since age two, my very first complete sentence I was told was, "Daddy ate my apple pie," because my dad took a bite of my dessert. Funny, it took me until in my 40s to learn about OA and to learn that it is a disease. And now I'm, you know, 58, and it took me 18 years of slipping and sliding in OA and kind of scratching my head going, I wonder why I can't do this right and why it's not working for me. It's worked for everybody else, but why not me? And I feel like I needed those 18 years of the going up and down with the food in OA to really become, you know, willing to first put down my own food entirely, like committing to a food plan as formulated, you know, by a nutritionist, not by Clarice, not by me. And I had to be willing to do whatever my awesome vision sponsor told me to do. And learning about that it's about spirituality and my relationship with my higher power, whom I call God. And, you know, right now I'm on step three, and I feel like already I know more freedom and peace than I've ever had. And I just know that being on this journey, that more will be divulged to me, and I'm going to learn more. And as I continue to build my connection, my relationship to God. Thank you so much. I'm grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share. And God is doing for me what I could never do for myself. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Clarice H., and everybody that has shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
truth keep you until then. Lisa N, star one to unmute.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
I'm so sorry. I had somebody come to my door at the exact moment. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until